I want you to remember this very first verse. Remember this verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember that. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Be dressed for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding or the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn, and he finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Amen. Let us pray. We are ready, O God, to open the doors of our lives to your transforming world and empowering presence. We are ready and believe you are ready to build and plant among us, shaping new realities for your faithful people. Turn us away from foolishness of our doubts and the corruption of selfish deeds, that we may rejoice in your promises. Strengthen our convictions and increase our hope. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you ever feel like you spend your whole life waiting on other people to get ready? Or are you on the other side of this particular question? Maybe you're the one that can never, ever be on time. And other people are constantly nagging you to hurry up. I have two daughters like that. Every time we wanted to get somewhere on time, it was hair or the clothes weren't right or something. Parents often feel like their life is one long cycle, a cycle of hurry up and wait. A dad named Rodney posted the following thoughts on Twitter. What I say, he says, be ready for we are leaving in 5 minutes. What the child hears is get undressed, start finger painting, and lose one shoe. Kids can be forgiven for not understanding the concept of get ready. But it's a lot harder to laugh it off when it happens to us adults. Actor Chesty Gregory says that he suffered from insomnia a few years ago, and one night during a very big show, he fell asleep in the dressing room. He woke up to hear the backstage staff banging on the door and paging him on the intercom. It sounds like every actor's worst nightmare. He rushed on stage just in time to cover up his mistake. But he claims that from that moment on, it cured his insomnia. He never fell asleep on the job after that. And we look at today's sermon and scripture from the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples to carry on his work after he is gone, after his death. He's been trying to warn them about this for quite a long time now. But they just don't understand. It's kind of like Rodney LaCroix tweeted about, quote, what I say versus what they hear. And that's very true. And if any of you have been a teacher, you know what I'm talking about. The whole chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, could be entitled, Wake Up, Get Ready. Wake up, get ready. And we need to pay close attention to it because the message is just as relevant today as it was for his disciples 2,000 years ago. Last week, we talked about having a foolish perspective on our lives. And we said that based on what the Bible says about foolishness, we could define a fool as someone who lives only for themselves and only for the moment. In these verses, we see Jesus is trying to remove our greed and worry by focusing our minds on the future that God has planned for each one of us. In fact, the central message of Luke 12 can be summed up in our very first verse this morning. I challenge every one of us to commit this verse to memory this week because if we really believe this one verse, it would change how we live our lives. It could change how we view the future. It would change our priorities. It would fuel our courage. But before we read again verse 32, let's put it in context. Jesus' ministry has become so popular that he and his disciples, everywhere they went, they were followed by hundreds and maybe thousands of people. The crowd is rowdy and they are trampling over each other as Jesus is moving from one place to the other. And this would be a perfect moment for Jesus to perform a few miracles or some fire breath sermon. Anything to wow the crowd. But Jesus knows two things that his disciples don't know yet. One, that popularity is not a measure of success in God's eyes. Obedience is. And two, that he is on his way to Jerusalem to face death on the cross. So instead of impressing the crowd, Jesus addresses his disciples. Our lesson begins with these words in verse 32. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is your memory verse for next week. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus knows that after his arrest and after his execution, disciples will become what they were known as religious outcasts. And they would become enemies of the state. Their lives would be in danger. They would face the rest of their lives with persecution and beatings and imprisonment and martyrdom as they spread Jesus' message to the ends of the earth. And if they're going to persevere through all of this, they need to see the future through Jesus' eyes. Imagine that for one day. You could see your future through Jesus' eyes. What would be different about it? What questions would it answer? I think one thing we know for sure, if we could see our future through Jesus' eyes, we would refuse to live in fear. Hear that? We would refuse to live in fear. I read a funny story about a computer glitch that affected the sports betting site in Australia. Some customers on the site named IAS Bet discovered that the site inadvertently was allowing fans to place bets on horse races that had already raced. What happens if you bet on a horse that you know is already going to win? I think you'd probably win a lot of money. Instead of alerting them, those folks to the glitch, these fans placed their bets and won some money. Now, most of the customers thought it was some kind of hoax, and they were going to test the system a little bit. Only one man placed a bet large enough to trigger an investigation by the website's owner. What a temptation. He couldn't lose. He won. He already knows the outcome of the races. See, he had no fear of risking his money. And Jesus is telling his disciples here, I already know the end of the story. I know the outcome of your race. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And if you were to read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you would see that almost every encounter with God, an angel of God, or Jesus himself, begins with some kind of variation of, don't be afraid. It's as common as you or I beginning an encounter with the words, hi. How many times do you say hi when you greet people during the week? It seems to be God's favorite greeting, don't be afraid. The disciples need to stand firm in this unshakable truth that God is their Father and they are all heirs to all of the riches of God's kingdom. Don't be afraid. The disciples need to stand firm. The riches of peace with God, eternal life, the fruits of the Spirit, what are they? Joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's their treasure that will never wear out or never fail. And it's our treasure as well. If you really believe this verse, it would change your life. So that is the first thing that Jesus is teaching us in this particular passage. If we could see our future through his eyes, we would refuse to live in fear. The second thing Jesus, I think, is teaching us is this passage is to let go of the things that control us. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Now, I believe Jesus meant these words literally and also figuratively. God cares passionately about the poor and the needy. You can't read through the Bible and miss this particular truth. So giving what you have to provide for the needy is a biblical mandate. But Jesus also came to set us free from the burdens and the fears of our world. And once we have been set free, then we can focus our energies on creating God's kingdom here on earth. Listen to these words, people. Your Father has already given you the kingdom. You have a treasure in heaven that will not fail. Why is your heart still tied to this world? Author David Gortz wrote a book entitled Death by Suburb, How to Keep the Suburbs from Killing Your Soul. And in this book, he says that chasing after immortality symbols distracts us from living as followers of Jesus. We get so tied up with status and comfort and achievement, we find our identity there in our jobs. We find our self-worth in our paycheck or in our possessions. We spend our lives building up and protecting our own little comfortable self-existence. And we completely miss the calling to follow Jesus as citizens of a heavenly kingdom. There's an old story about a court jester who once was given a wand by the nobleman he served. "Keep this," the nobleman said, "until you find a greater fool than yourself." The jester put the wand away and kept it for many years. And one day the nobleman lay dying, and he called the jester to his side and said, "I'm going on a long journey." And the jester asked, "Where to?" And the nobleman shrugged his shoulders. "For how long?" the jester asked. "Forever," replied the nobleman. "What provisions have you made for yourself for this journey?" asked the jester. "None," responded the nobleman. Then said the jester, "Take this," handing him the wand, "for you are a greater fool than I am." Who is the greater fool? The one who focuses his life on collecting and protecting stuff that will wear out, will fail, will get eaten by moths? Or the one who spends his life giving and sharing with Christ the work of creating the kingdom here on earth? And how do we create that kingdom of God on earth? I think the last part of our passage this morning tells us that. Be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants who the master finds watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. The final thing is teaching us in this passage that our service to others makes us ready to serve him when he comes again. When you serve the people around you with love and with humility, you are serving Jesus. You are living out the purpose for which God made you. You will find yourself, your highest identity and purpose and joy in caring for others just as Jesus cares for them. Final story, a man named Ron told a particular story how God woke him up from a life that was meaningless and way out of control. Ron began using alcohol at a young age, and then moved on to methamphetamine. He drifted into adulthood with no purpose. His addiction caused him to lose custody of his daughter. And then in 2012, Ron was in a car accident that should have really killed him. Somehow, he survived. And the trauma of the accident caused him to question why God would have spared his life in the first place. And Ron checked himself into a hospital psychiatric ward, and from there he looked for help at a place called Hope Ministries, and that's found in Des Moines, Iowa. Hope Ministry provides a shelter and recovery services for people who are struggling with substance abuse cases. And at first, Ron wanted a place to stay. You know, 3 square meals a day, roof over your head, a bed. He wasn't really sure he was ready to deal with all of the addictions. But the prayers and the support he received at Hope Ministries made him rethink his path. His path in life. And he said, quote, "I look back at my life and all the choices I've made, the holes in my soul that I tried to fill through my addictions. I surrendered my life to Christ, and that's the one choice that has changed my entire life." To make a long story short, Ron entered a recovery program. He reconnected with his daughter. He got a job. And with his commitment to following Jesus and the support of all of his new friends, Ron rebuilt his life and graduated from the program in July of 2020. And he is committing his life to helping others in the same ways that he had been helped. His life goal now is loving and serving others. And as he says, quote, "That's what I want to do with the rest of my life. Serve others and show them that there is hope in this world and there is love that truly exists in this world." Many years ago, Mother Teresa met with Dr. Robert Schuller, and you remember him. He was pastor of the Crystal Cathedral out in California. And she devoted her life to the neediest, the most destitute people in Calcutta, and had been instrumental in starting similar ministries around the world. And Dr. Schuller said, and asked Mother Teresa for some words of wisdom for his ministry. He was so moved by what she said, he had her words engraved into a plaque that hung in his office wall. Mother Teresa told Dr. Schuller this: "Be all and only for Jesus. Let him use you without consulting you first." Be all and only for Jesus. Let him use you without consulting you first. You know, that's what it means. That's what it means to be dressed for service. What would have to change in your life for you to be ready for service? What fears would you have to overcome? What priorities would you have to change? And what could God do through you if you let God use you without consulting you first? That's a very scary question. It's scary for all of us. And Jesus knew it would be. So remember his words that were as true for us today as they were for his disciples 2,000 years ago. "Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom of heaven."